Hallelujah. God's good all the time, and all the time God is good.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Well, I have been attempting to preach this message for 3 weeks now, and things haven't changed, so the message is still appropriate. Still the truth. I'll tell you what. You can when you can't walk and you can't write, and all you can do is basically without any trouble is look, you can see a lot of stuff. And finally, I got to the point where I could turn the pages in a book. And I read 2 entire books this week. I told Laverne, I said, you know, usually I read books by content. A little bit here, a little bit there, a little bit somewhere else. But very seldom sit down and read an entire book. But I did this past week. And that was quite a good experience. I actually read books that I enjoyed when I read them. But the interesting thing was that they were both given to me to read to see what I thought about them. And I basically thought they were right on, and they were right, they were the truths. Now, what I'm going to share with you today may seem like a simple little thing, but I hope you see the truth in my message this morning. Now, did you catch that? I hope you see the truth. Because the message this morning is entitled Fact or Truth? Fact or Truth? And I want to say this to you. Did you know that the truth is always the truth? The truth is always the truth. And facts are always the facts. But I want to throw a wrench in your gears this morning and to tell you this, that the facts are not always the truth. But the facts are always the facts. And the truth is always the truth, but facts are not always the truth. Now, I've got a few scriptures I want to read, and I had to read them pretty quickly in order to get through everything this morning. After all, now that's been saved up, this is 3 weeks worth. So take what you normally get, multiply it by 3. We'll be gone by then. I can promise you. Let's look at the truth here for a minute. Let's see what this book that I have right here, see what it has to say about the truth. Now, let me tell you this. If I took every place in this book where the word truth appears, we would be here for 3 hours. And I probably still wouldn't have ever said anything except read the scripture and gave my opinion on it. So I've narrowed it down to what I feel like is sufficient for this morning. Heavenly Father, I thank you for opening our hearts and our ears our ears to hear, our hearts to receive, our minds to comprehend your truth and how we live and walk in the truth. In Jesus' name, amen. In Psalm 40 and verse 11, the psalmist says this: "Do not withhold your tender mercies from me, O Lord. Let your loving kindness and your truth continually preserve me." Let your loving kindness and your truth continually preserve me. When something's preserved, what's that mean? It doesn't deteriorate. Preserve means, you know, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. There we are. If you're listening on the internet and wondering why there was a down moment, it's because my battery died. Okay, so we're all back ready to go again now. Your truth continually preserve me. You got a peach. You got a peach and you set it out on the counter. You let it sit there. How long will it be before that peach is rotten? It'll be a while, but now let me ask you this. Make a comparison. If you took that same peach and preserved it, made like peach preserves, and you set that peach preserves on the counter, which one's going to last the longest? The peach preserved. Okay, so that's what the writer says here. Your truth continually preserve me. You want to stay good and healthy and keep from stinking and rotting it and all like that? Then let God's truths preserve you. And in order for God's truth to preserve you, you have got to be immersed in God's truth. Amen. Now, let's turn over to Psalm 119. And maybe you know what Psalm 119 is. That's the long psalm. Really, really long psalm. Psalm 119, verse 142. It says, "Your righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and your law is truth." Your righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and your law is truth. Now let me ask you this. Are you righteous by what you have done, or are you righteous by what God has done? God made us righteous. Jesus Christ took our sins, gave us his righteousness. Now, what did it say about his righteousness? It says, "Your righteousness is an everlasting righteousness." and everlasting righteousness. And when you receive the righteousness of God through Jesus Christ, it's an everlasting righteousness. As far as God's concerned, it's an everlasting righteousness. But as far as a lot of people concerned, it's only righteousness until their next sin. And then in spite of the fact that we've covered our lives, we've covered our hearts, we've covered our being by the blood of Jesus Christ, somehow that sin overrides the blood of Jesus. In a lot of people's thinking. Now, how much credit does that give to the blood of Jesus? You never became righteous by working your way into it. You became righteous because Jesus gave his righteousness to us and he took our sin. So now that we have his righteousness, can one act of sin take that righteousness away from us? If it does, then your life is a spiritual yo-yo. Been down, been down. Your law is truth. Your law is truth. I remember we're reading this out of Psalms, which is in the Old Testament under the Old Covenant. Your law is truth. But here's an interesting verse 160. The entirety. What's entirety mean? Every bit of it, right? The entirety of your word is truth. And every one of your righteous judgments endures forever. And every one of your righteous judgments endures forever. So the entirety of your word is truth. Now in John chapter 8, verses 31 and 32, Jesus says to his disciples, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. You abide where? In my word. Then you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Now, that word truth, you should know the truth. Gnosko is a Greek word and means to perceive, understand, recognize, gain knowledge, realize, come to know. Gnosko is the knowledge that has an inception, a progression, and an attainment. It is the recognition of truth by personal experience. The recognition of truth by personal experience. There is a difference in believing and knowing that there is a God from personally knowing him. I know people that will admit there's a God, but they're basically serving the devil. Or they're trying to live their life on their own, but, you know, people haven't come to the realization yet, your life is either live for Jesus or it's live for the devil. And there isn't any gray part in the middle where you can have it yourself. I don't want to serve God, but I'm not going to live for the devil. I'm going to stay right here. There is no middle ground. And he said, you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Okay, what is truth? Pilate asked Jesus that question when he was standing before him before they crucified him. What is truth? Pilate didn't know. And yet truth was standing right in front of him. And Pilate missed it. We can miss the truth sometimes. We can miss the truth when we're so consumed with the facts. Facts of life. What about the truth of life? What about the truth of life? We have facts of life every day. Every day you will walk in the facts of life. But if you are walking in the Word of God, every day you will walk in the truth. And you will do the best job for one or the other, depending on which one you look the most at. Which one of them is the most real? What's the most real to you, truth or facts? When there's pain in your body, that's a fact. Physically, materially, we all live in facts. I experienced a lot of facts in the last couple of weeks. But I know a truth that's bigger than facts. And that is that He bore my sicknesses and carried my diseases, and He carried my pains, and by His stripes I'm healed. That's the truth that lasted through these whole last 2 weeks, even though the facts were entirely different. The facts were spelled P-A-I-N. Now, I'll tell you, sometimes it's hard to ignore the facts. Sometimes you can't get around the facts, per se. When you're involved in facts that won't change, start looking to the truth. Start looking to the truth. There may be times in your life when you get up some morning or maybe something happens and all of a sudden you get this little thought through your mind and you don't even feel saved. Now the fact is you don't feel saved. That's a fact. But what's the truth? Your righteousness is an everlasting righteousness. Are there glitches? Of course there are glitches. Do you sometimes open the wrong door? Of course you do. Do you sometimes stumble and fall? Absolutely. These are all facts. But when you start living by those facts, you will release the truth. And you'll be consumed by facts, and the facts won't set you free. They will not set you free. The truth frees you. And you know, even in religion, religion's not a freeing thing. Religion itself will not free you. Religion will bind you even worse than you were bound when you were lost. Religion will have you doing things that you can't possibly get done. They will say, do this, do that, do this, do that, do this, do that. And that just brought to my mind one of the little comments that Terry Tripp had in his book, Elevation, that I read. He says, religion will have you to do until all you have is just a pile of doo-doo. That's what religion will do for you. Religion will never set you free. Religion will never set you free as long as it tells you how long you're supposed to wear your hair, whether you can wear lipstick, whether you can do this or whether you can do that. You'll never be free. But look what it says in the Word of God. John 16:13. You've got that one on your bulletin. Let's back up to verse 12. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, who's he talking about? Talking about the Holy Spirit. He will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority. But whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will tell you things to come. The Spirit of truth. Okay, so now here it says that the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. He's already said that his law and his word is truth. Okay, so now when you take the Holy Spirit and you take the Word of God and you get the perfect blend on them, the Holy Spirit is the one that's interpreting the Word of God to you. You're walking in the Spirit, living by the Word of God. You begin to rise up. Now, you could substitute another word for facts. You could put circumstances, situations. But you don't know my situation. You know the truth of the matter. It doesn't matter whether I know your situation. It doesn't matter whether I understand your circumstances. You got to understand that God knows your situation. God knows your circumstances. He knows the facts, but he has a truth that he's wanting to impart into you. If you look at the facts, in many cases, all you'll do is give up. I know probably two people, at least in here this morning, that if they had given up the truth and held on to the facts, neither one of us would be here this morning, and that's me and Tony Mosby. If all we had had with what we've gone through here recently was just the facts, both of us agreeing with those facts would have killed us both. And see, you know, you got a financial situation, you got a financial circumstance, start agreeing with it. Start agreeing with the situation. Start agreeing with the circumstances. Or start speaking the truth about it. My God supplies all my need according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. There's a difference between the facts and the truth. And we've got to decide which one we're walking in. Am I walking in the facts or am I walking in the truth? 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Talking about keeping the communion. Walking in righteousness. Therefore, verse 8, therefore let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. The unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Listen at the meaning of that word sincerity. The word, the word literally means judged by sunlight. Sincerity means judged by sunlight. The word alludes to Oriental bazaars where pottery was displayed in dimly lit rooms. Unscrupulous merchants would patch cracked pottery or cover defects with wax. Intelligent buyers would hold up the pottery to the sun and judge its quality by the sunlight. This sincerity is transparent honesty, genuine purity, manifested clarity, and unsullied innocence. It describes one who does not fear, though examination of his motives, or thorough examination of his motives and intents, because he has nothing to hide. It describes one who does not fear thorough examination of his motives and intents because he has nothing to hide. That's truth. We're walking in the truth when we have nothing to hide. Now, ask this question. Do you have anything to hide? Do I have anything to hide? I have a feeling that none of us in here this morning would want all the facts about us in a newspaper tomorrow. And you know why? Because in the natural, we're none of us perfect. But you see, some of those facts that we don't want anybody to know are covered by the truth of God's word when we begin to believe it. And you know, a conversation between some of our old friends and God could go something like this. Well, I know what he's really like. I remember when he... Now, surely, God, you remember the one he did... No. Well, how come I remember it and you don't? Because you're going by the facts. I'm going by the truth. You can remember when there was sin in his life. I vowed not to remember that. And his lawless deeds, I will remember no more. God chose to forget. But many times we choose to remember. And we get help in remembering. You know what? We get help in remembering. Because there is a spirit of truth that is the Holy Spirit. And then there is a spirit that is a lie that comes from the father of lies. And he tries to keep us remembering all of those things that weren't what God really would have had us do. And we live under that guilt or sin. But he said, but with unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. If you don't have any ulterior motives, you don't have anything to hide. And, you know, you might as well remember this. God always knows what you're doing. And I'm not saying that to be, you know, he knows what you're doing even when he don't like what you're doing, but he doesn't stop loving you for what you're doing. But you're hurting yourself. I mean, you know, when we tell our children when they're small not to do this, not to do that, not to do something else, do we do that because we're trying to be mean to them? Or do we do that because we're trying to protect them? But you see, they don't understand the protection. They think we're just trying to deprive them of something, you know. Don't go near the stream down there. You might fall and get drowned. They don't have a concept of what drowned is. And they may go down there and they may fall in. Do you stop loving them? I told you not to fall in that. Since you fell in, I'm going to stand here and watch you drown. You're not going to do that, are you? And God's not going to do it either. Now let's jump over to 3 John. That's right about the end of the book. Third John, verses 2 divorce. Wow, the way it starts out. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers. That's what God wants of us, to prosper in all things and be in health just as our soul prospers. Now, why does that depend upon just as your soul prospers? Because your soul is the part that needs to be moved from the facts to the truth. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Is that a fact or a truth? It's a truth. Now, all truths are facts, but not all facts are truth. Now, we've got to separate them. So what are you going to believe, the facts or the truth? Beloved, I wish above all things you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. Oh, that's for so-and-so, but that's not for me. And my soul's not prospering. Why isn't your soul prospering? If your soul's not prospering, it's your fault, it's not God's. If I refuse to read the Word of God, if I refuse to meditate in the Word of God, if I refuse to listen to the Spirit of truth that comes and speaks to me through the Word of God, and I know, you know, you read something in the Bible and you said, oh, that can't be right. You know what you're doing? You're questioning the truth. Whenever you question the truth, you are going to lose. Now, you can question the facts, and you can come out a winner, but you can never question the truth and come out a winner. And, you know, that's one thing that saddens me as I look at things. I see these young men and women that go through our seminaries and go through our Bible schools and come out on the other side with less faith than they had when they went in. Because they've been taught about all the things in the book that's questionable. And you can never really walk in the truth of God's Word until you have made up your mind to say the Word of God is the truth, not me. This book has all the truth. I don't. Matter of fact, I don't have much truth, but boy, I got a lot of facts. Beloved, I wish above all things, or I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, even as your soul prospers. For I rejoiced greatly when brethren came and testified of the truth that is in you, just as you walk in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Walk in truth. The only way you're going to get the negative facts in your life changed is to start walking in truth. Word of God's truth. Word of God applies to me. I'm going to change the facts for the truth. Now back up a couple of pages to 2 Peter. Second Peter chapter 2. Second Peter chapter 2, and we're going to begin with verse 1. But there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed. And many will follow their destructive ways because of whom the truth or the way of truth will be blasphemed. Say one thing, live something else. Or say one thing that's contrary to this book, and you're maligning the truth. You know, there are people, there are religious scholars, and I never did understand why somebody want to major in religion if all they want to do was take it apart. Just tear it up. But there are people in the Bible, in Bible schools and religious schools, they will actually promote that there never really was a person, Jesus of Nazareth. And that if he did exist, he certainly was not born of a virgin. And if he lived and was born of a virgin, he certainly was not sinless. Now, when you do that, it doesn't matter what you do with the rest of the scriptures. It doesn't matter what you teach. You've cut the heart out of the whole Bible. And there are people that are doing those things. And you know, I'll tell you what. Now, don't take this as a negative confession. Take it as a fact. There are some things in the Bible that's not easy to understand. There's some things that are easy to understand but hard to accept. I mean, I could write a few at you. I mean, do you have any problem? Have you ever heard any problem? Have you ever heard anybody say anything about the fact that a man could live inside a fish's belly for 3 days? Jesus evidently believed it, because he told his followers, as Jonah was in the belly of the fish for 3 days, so shall the Son of Man be in the earth, or the bowels of the earth. Now, if it didn't happen to Jonah, then it didn't happen to Jesus, because he made the comparison. Remember Lot's wife. Three words. Remember Lot's wife. What happened to her? She looked back when they were coming out of Sodom and she was turned into a pillar of salt. I mean, there's a lot of facts. And at midnight, they saw someone coming to them walking upon the waters. When's the last time you saw somebody walking on the water? When's the last time you tried walking on the water? You might have tried it. Did you succeed? I don't know if anybody succeeded in walking on the water yet. I'll address that in the last statement of my sermon this morning. One more scripture. 2 Peter chapter 1 should be easy to find. It's right next to where you are now. Chapter 1, begin with verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Multiplied to you in the knowledge of God. Now, how are you going to get a knowledge of God? There's two ways that you can get a knowledge of God. Well, you know, if you go back to Romans 1, it tells you even nature itself refers to, or, you know, demonstrates the existence of God. But let's say just there's two sources of knowledge about God. One of them is the Bible. The Word. The truth. The Word of truth. The Bible is God's word of truth. That's one of the sources of knowledge about God. It's much better source of knowledge about God than sitting under a tree out on the side of the hill looking at a butterfly. Now, that may relate you to God. That may give you a warm feeling and a feeling like that God is here. But it's not going to really help you a whole lot as far as biblical knowledge of God is concerned. Oh, God made that butterfly. And he used to be a caterpillar. And I used to be a sinner. Now I'm saved. Sure, there's ways you can relate. That's what I'm talking about. But this book will give you a whole lot better knowledge of God than sitting under a tree meditating about butterflies. And the second source of knowledge about God is the Spirit of Truth, which is the Holy Spirit. So now when you combine the Holy Spirit with the Word of God and get them both working together, because if you're listening to a spirit that's telling you something that's not in this book, you better be careful because you're on the wrong road. Men like Joseph Smith, founder of Mormonism, that's how he got his revelation. From a spirit called, or an angel called Moroni. Got the whole Book of Mormon from that angel on some plates that nobody ever saw but him. The same thing happened with several other groups. Even some of them that we would loosely call Christian. And when this is gone, I'm done. Of course, it'll last for about 45 minutes. But no, not really. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. That don't leave much out. Life and godliness. But how does it work? Through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. Through the knowledge of him. By which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Let me give you an alternate reading of that. That through these promises you may be partakers of the divine nature, having been elevated above the corruption that's in this world through lust. Rising above. Rising above. Now, when you couple what I'm getting ready to say in this last couple of minutes here with what I put in the bulletin, you'll see how it fits. One of the things that God is after in our lives is to get us to move from glory unto glory unto glory. There's a glory down here. You get in on the first floor, or like I said in the bulletin, maybe even the basement. You get into the elevation of life, elevator of life with the Spirit of God. When you get in on the first floor, there's a whole lot to be enjoyed. And some people enjoy it so much that they don't ever want to go anywhere but just the first floor. Or why should I go any further? Hey, I'm saved. I'm going to heaven when I die. This is a good feeling. It's good enough. After all, I got all I got when I got saved. That's one of the lies that the devil propagates in the church, that you got everything when you got saved. Now, I will say this, you got the potential for everything when you got saved. Because you're a new creature in Christ, a new creature or a new creation in Christ Jesus. You're new. That means sky's the limit. But someone or other, you get the feeling, hey, there's another button. It's got two on it. I'm on one. I wonder what's on two. You find out through here that you don't have everything you could have. So if I don't have everything I could have, what do I need to do? Need to move to the next level. Need to be moved up a little higher. Get, oh, the third. So how many stories is in God's building? How many, you know, when is the end? Well, let's put it this way. If it's 10 floors, I'm on floor 6. I mean, that's just a little more than half of what's available. Now, how long have I been on 6? I don't know. Probably need to move up to 7. Now, I tell you what, I think it's more like there's 24,000 floors. And so, you know, 24,000, and, you know, you move one of them, that's something, that's, you know. You get saved on floor 1, you get baptized, you go in the Holy Ghost, you go to floor 2. Start realizing that faith works through love and that all things are possible, then you go up a little further. Then you figure out about worship, and then you figure out about prosperity, and then you have all of these are levels of achievement in the kingdom of God. And we are encouraged to rise. When we have the desire in our heart to have more of God and know more about God and walk more in the truth than we walk in facts, then we start to elevate. We start to rise. And I'm going to tell you something. It's not by what you're doing. It's by what you're believing. Do will never get you to the next level. But believe in God's truth will. And then when you begin to believe God for things, and you see them coming to pass, you've got to continually let the facts fall away and hold on to the truth. That's the way we move from glory to glory, to glory. And when you get off the top floor, you're going to be in heaven. And it's going to be eternal righteousness. Your righteousness, O Lord, endures forever. Now, don't question God about stuff. Question yourself. Or question where you're getting the questions from. Eve really messed up when she didn't test where she got the questions from. Don't you be like that. Make sure it's God's questions that are getting answered, not yours. And certainly not the devil's. Let's stand. Okay, I'm just going to ask you this question. Leave it in your heart. You decide. You ponder it this week and next week and whatever. But here's the question. How many floors do you imagine there is in God's kingdom, and which level are you on now? And are you content with where you are? That's my assignment. That's your homework. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we thank you with all of our heart for your truth, for the truth of your word. And your word is not for us to decide whether or not it's the truth. It's our decision of whether or not we believe it, whether or not we accept it, whether or not we rise with it and live in it. Father, I pray that you'll help us to do that. to have a greater experience with you than we've ever had before. To go to places, Lord God, in your kingdom that we've never been. To achieve a level that we've never seen. And Lord God, it's by your grace, by the gift of your word, and by your pouring out upon us the Holy Spirit, that we can do this. That we can rise in the kingdom of God. I thank you, Lord God, for each of these people. Each one may be listening to this on the internet. I thank you, Lord God, that our life is in your hands. And that's a good place for it to be. And if we want to know the truth, all we have to do is ask you. So bless us this week, Lord God. Guide us in your truth. Let us walk by your Spirit by choice in all that we do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Leadership.
Yeah. Be a leadership meeting just for a few minutes after church this morning. So. Oh, wait a minute. I've got one other. We got one other thing. I'll hold it for just a second. I forgot it. We got something we want you to see. Hello? We got something we want you to see, and then we'll let you go. So just find your seat. It'll take a minute. I forgot that we had some guest musicians with us. If we can get them cranked up.
Climb out of this boat and then onto the crashing waves, to step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown, where Jesus is and he's holding out his hand. But the waves are calling out my name and they laugh at me, reminding me of all the times I've tried before and failed. The waves, they keep on telling me time and time again, boy, you never win. You never win. But the voice of truth tells me a different story. The voice of truth says do not be afraid. And the voice of truth says this is for my glory. Choose to listen and believe the voice of truth. Oh, what I would do to have the kind of strength it takes to stand before a giant with just a sling and a stone. Surrounded by the sound of a thousand warriors shaking in their armor, wishing they'd have had the strength to stand.
wrong telling me time and time again, boy, you never win. You never win. But the voice of truth tells me a different story. The voice of truth says do not be afraid. And the voice of truth says this is for my glory. Out of all the voices calling out to me, I will choose to listen and believe the voice of truth. Oh, what I would do to have the kind of strength it takes to stand before a giant. With just a sling and a stone, surrounded by the sound of a thousand warriors, shaking in their armor, wishing they'd have had the strength to stand. But the giant's calling out my name and he laughs at me, reminding me of all the times I tried before and failed. The giant keeps on telling me time and time again, boy, you'll never win. You'll never win. But the voice of truth tells me a different story. The voice of truth says do not be afraid. And the voice of truth says this is for my glory. Choose to listen and believe the voice of truth. But the stone was just the right size to put the giant on the ground. And the way laid out seemed so high, on top of them looking down. I soar with the wings of eagle. When I stop and listen to the sound of Jesus singing, oh, don't let me. The voice of truth tells me a different story. The voice of truth says do not be afraid. And the voice of truth says this is for my glory. Out of all the voices calling out to me,
calling out to me,
I will choose to listen and believe. I will choose to and believe the voice of truth. I will listen and believe. I will listen and believe the voice of truth.
He said, if I couldn't find anybody, he said, I'll get somebody to do it. Remember that? When he first started his church.
Well, if you'd been back here where Tony and I are, y'all could have seen a real beautiful presentation of slides on the different as the song went through, but the reason we played is because of what the song was saying, a word of truth, rising up to the word of truth. We'll get it. We're working on it. We'll get it better. Now you got it? All right.
I would do to have the kind of faith it takes to climb out of this boat and then onto the crashing wave, to step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is and he's holding out his hand. But the waves are calling out my name and they laugh at me, reminding me of all the times I tried before and failed. The way they keep on telling me time and time again, boy, you'll never.
I think the computer wasn't in place. All right, one more time. faith it takes to climb out of this boat of men, under the crashing waves, to step out of my comfort zone, into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is, and he's holding out his hand. But the waves are calling out my name and they laugh at me, reminding me of all the times I've tried before and failed. The waves, they keep on telling me time and time again, boy, you never win. You never win. But the voice of truth tells me a different story. The voice of truth says, do not be afraid. And the voice of truth says, this is for my glory. Out of all the voices calling out to me, I will choose to live. Strength it takes to stand before a giant with just a sling and a stone, surrounded by the sound of a thousand warriors shaking in their armor, wishing they'd have had the strength to stand. But the giant's calling out my name and he laughs at me, reminding me of all the times tried before and failed. The giant keeps on telling me time and time again, boy, you'll never win. You'll never win. But the voice of truth tells me a different story. The voice of truth says, do not be afraid. And the voice of truth, this is for my glory. Out of all the voices calling out to me, I will choose to listen and believe the voice of truth.
Of truth.
Amen.
I love you, Evan. You're going to be all right. Good. Amen.